Hey, this is Carmen, and thanks for listening to the Carmen and Yurko podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN Chicago Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
You're listening to Cap and Company. See what we're up to on Twitch
at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thank you, Danny Zetterman. Thank you, Chris Bleck. We'll let you know more about the Unity Walk that's going to happen. Unity Walk, 29 miles from the radio station home one day. We'll do it to raise funds. Looking forward to it, and it will happen. It's not like the road trip from California.
You're going to fly?
No, I'm going to walk. 100%.
Like you were going to drive.
That's what I just said.
I keep hearing it.
That's what I just said, but this one's going to happen. I'm absolutely going to do it.
Lovely. 29-mile walk.
29-mile walk. That is it. So
I wish you luck.
Thanks, kid. Anything to help people and bring people together. Unity. Unity walk.
What would that take? About it? 7 hours?
9 hours.
8 hours? 9 hours?
And Danny didn't at least say nine?
Google Maps said from here to his house, which I can give you his address if you want to confirm it, Carm.
No, it's all right.
From here to his house is a 9 mile walk.
9 miles?
9 hour walk.
No, I would say it's
how
less
many miles?
That's
Google Maps in 9 hours.
Yeah, but I think that we'd be walking faster.
Oh,
we can probably walk about 15. You walk about a mile in 15 minutes.
No, that's according to the. Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive at a brisk walk.
Oh, yeah.
At a brisk walk, you'd be 15 minutes
a
mile.
Okay, so we're walking. We're brisk, a bunch of walkers.
Average human being over uneven ground is 5 miles an hour.
It's 29 miles. Now, let's not forget, because he can't walk streets, Carm. He's got to wait at stoplights.
Yeah, you might be right.
Hey, you're not going on the highway here, Carm.
Right, yeah.
You're taking residential areas.
A big portion on Milwaukee Avenue.
All right.
So he's got to stop at stoplights, at crosswalks.
I bet it's done in less than 9 hours. I would take the under.
You're taking the under 9 hours?
I'd take the under 9 hours.
Well, I wish you guys luck.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not walking.
He's anymore. Not doing it. Great shirt, Carm. I have the same one. It's awesome.
Is Danny doing
Matthew,
it?
Matthew, I love
Danny,
it.
You walking those 29 miles?
Well, because he says something, I'm walking. No shot.
I just asked the question.
No, Johnny.
It's for Unity, man.
We'll do a 5K run. How's that?
We'll do that.
Me and Black and Danny will do a 5K.
You know what happened when Black and I went and did the 5K, right?
He smoked you?
Well, that's not even a question. I was running for charity. Was that the brain tumor one, Chris? Or was it the Fragile X one, which my son has? I think it was the brain tumor.
I think it was Fragile X, no?
Was it the Fragile? No, it was the brain tumor one. It was the brain tumor one. I have a dear friend with a brain tumor. So there was this big run out around Soldier Field. So Black, who I know is like a gazelle, and I'm not, I said, hey, you want to run this with me? He's like, absolutely. So my wife said, she was walking it. She said, are you going to try and keep up with Chris? I said, well, for as long as I can.
For a half mile.
So I sneak up to the front of the corral. And there was, how many, Chris? 2,000 people? 3,000 people?
If there was one, there was 2,000.
There were a lot.
There were a lot. And so I get to the front of the corral. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
At the front.
And I'm like, what are you doing here?
I'm right there. And there's all these people, you know, they've got those tiny little shorts on. And here I am. And like, I got a hoodie.
You looked out of place.
Yeah. And this guy's like,
good luck.
Good luck. Have a good run. And then there goes Blex, like, three rows behind me. Boom! There's the gun. They go. And I figure I'm going to run as hard as I can for as long as I can to keep up with him.
You're going to wear yourself out.
Blex went by me. I'm not kidding. Blex backed me up. He went by me 70 yards into the race.
That sounds about right.
And he was gone.
Yeah. Cloud of dust.
He's a runner. Yeah. That's what runners do.
Go on, they run. Nothing's funnier than the guy who thinks he needs to go to the front of the first corral to start a race.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was so.
No, the problem with that, it gets discouraging because everybody's passing you.
Oh, yes.
Everybody. Because
exactly.
You're not in your group that you're supposed to be running with. They're going by you like you're standing still. Yeah. And you're like, what am I doing wrong? You're running in sand. You're running in quicksand. The rest of them are running on concrete.
The worst is when the people who do it in triathlons, and you start with the swim, and then the people who get overzealous, I don't know what you'd say, but they go in like, so they do it by times. They want you to pick what you think you're going to do the swim time. And not all of them are like this. Like the big ones like Chicago, you're assigned a heat. But I've done some that, you know, people get too excited and they're like, well, I'm going to jump in the 8 minute, you know, half mile. And, you know, they're not swimming a half mile.
And then they get trampled.
And then you're screwing up everything. You're screwing up everything. If you're not elite, if you're not planning on competing with the best of the best in that triathlon, don't be going to the 6 minute corral or the 7 minute corral. You know, it's like bad idea. It's the same thing happens in the triathlon.
And listen, running's like 80% mental to begin with. So, like, the fact that Yurko brings up, like, all these people passing Cap just hurts even more. Like, the thing that I always thought back in the day when I was actually in races was you always want to kick at the end because I always figured my kick's going to be better than yours because you're gassed.
Yep.
So it's more demoralizing for you when we're a mile out and I just waste you around a corner. That's it. You're done. That's I'm not going to see you again.
Right.
But if you start out fast and then you're slowing down and then you hear the footsteps and then you hear the breathing.
So my goal was I'm not going to walk any of this.
Dead in
I'm
the water.
Finish
did you not walk any of them?
I did not.
That's good.
I finished it. What did I do, Chris? 26 minutes?
I don't know your time.
Something like that.
You finished.
It's not his responsibility to remember your time.
I will give you credit. You finished.
I finished.
Absolutely.
That's better than 9 minute miles.
You didn't walk.
So that's good.
As I'm coming down the home stretch, you know, people are cheering you and all that, and this little girl who couldn't have been more than like,
were they going, go Yul Brynner,
eight,
go Cap, go.
I'm running and I'm like, please dear Lord, let that finish line get here. And I'm thinking nobody's around me, and all of a sudden this 9-year-old goes right by me and she looks back and I'm like, boy, am I old and do I suck.
Well, yeah, a 9-year-old's got abundant energy.
I mean, she had a kick.
Of course they do.
She had a kick and I was left in the dust.
That's nothing for that,
so,
man.
It was fun. But I'm going to do this unity walk.
All right.
I'm about bringing people together, Carmen.
I guess so.
Can't have a community without unity, guys. You know
I am watching the White Sox last night.
Yes.
And the Cubs.
Both teams had to rally. Both teams did it successfully.
Big home run by Eloy.
I'd say so. Did you see where he hit that ball?
Yeah.
Into the stands?
Into the stands. I mean, it rattled around in something behind the center field wall.
Who is wearing Yelich's uniform? Like me? Because it's not him.
I don't know, man. And he is having I've never seen him struggle so much with two strikes. I mean, he can't get the bat off the shoulder right now.
Terrible.
He looks lost. I've got to imagine at some point he's going to look like Christian Yelich. I think he's too good, but it's surprising right now. I mean, he can't get the bat off his shoulder with two
Let
strikes.
Let them get buried. Why do we concern ourselves with Christian Yelich in Milwaukee?
You're right.
Let them bury themselves. What do we care? I think the White Sox for stepping up to the mic and getting some things done.
Two more nights, York.
It's a nice thing.
Two more nights
on
the South Side tonight. You should cheer for the White Sox.
Yeah, who said I wasn't?
Yeah, I think
thank
you
for doing us the favor. Never since I woke them up, the White Sox, look what you've gotten now.
It was almost a week ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yurko woke
them
up.
I'm getting high fives around the NWI, kid.
Yeah.
The 219. A lot of White Sox fans down there thanking me for what I did for them. If Renteria's going to be sleeping on the bench, you might as well let somebody wake him
up. I would like to say that the show contributed greatly to that. I mean, Yurko was pounding on me.
I was on him. Yeah.
But I was really I gave him a rough ride last Thursday.
Ride,
I was very unhappy.
You were all over
as a White Sox
fan. Like white on rice.
Yeah, Robert, they're 1-4.
Like stink on poop.
Luis Robert is batting seventh, and I'm like, what is going on?
You did not like this.
I didn't like it at all.
Can't
Robert,
disagree.
Boys, I think he's your leadoff hitter.
Oh boy.
Right? I mean, do you move him or do you keep him there? Or do you do the Garfine lineup, which I can get behind? Do you do TA Robert, then you slide Moncada into three and Abreu's four? Is that the best lineup?
So Robert, TA.
No, TA. Because a lot of people are saying, well, when T.A. comes back, he should still be the leadoff. All right, fine. T.A., Robert. T.A. and Robert should be. See, the problem for me is like.
1-2-2-1, 2-1-1-2.
I think Robert and Moncada should probably be 1-2.
Ah, well, you're not putting T.A. 3, are you?
T.A.'s not a high OBP guy.
No.
No, he's not.
So is it T.A.?
But he's a 333 Last year was 333, I think 365, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
He can hit.
So is it T.A., Robert, Moncada, Abreu, Aloy? Is that the best 1 through 5?
T.A., Moncada.
And I think this year he's 333, 353, if I'm not mistaken, without having the stats in front of me.
So wait, it's T.A.,
Robert,
Robert, T.A., Robert,
Moncada,
Abreu,
Abreu, Aloy.
Wow, is that good?
That's a good lineup, man. I mean, look, they can really hit, guys. They only scored 3 runs last night. Woodruff is good, I got to say. I mean, but they can really hit.
They are not the pick today, according to the analytics. The Brewers are the favorite.
Brewers are the favorite today? Mm-hmm.
Who's pitching?
Today it Keuchel. Is Dallas Keuchel. Yeah.
Keuchel against?
They've got...
who do they got? Raleigh Fingers today? No. Who's pitching for
the
them?
The kid who was he was a bullpen guy most of last year, and then he started late in the year, I think.
Hater.
No, it's not Josh Hader. I can't think of who it is.
Because I'm hating. I'm white and nerdy.
Boy, they got Milwaukee's to pick tonight, huh, against Keuchel?
Yeah. How about that? Cubs just keep rolling along.
The Cubs do.
Hauser, Carm?
Oh, yeah. Adrian Hauser. Yeah.
Adrian
Hauser. Pretty good. So the Cubs, the starting pitching that the Cubs are getting right now is fantastic.
Yeah, but they're also, like the White Sox, playing bad teams.
They are.
It doesn't matter. You play the teams that are on the schedule, boys.
Yeah.
That's it. Doesn't matter.
You think they're going to St. Louis?
Yes.
Guys, they're not going to play 9-2 baseball all year.
No.
I mean, they're not playing that kind of winning baseball.
No, but
at some point, they're going to lose some games.
Okay,
so you beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That's
you should beat Kansas City today. Find a way to win a baseball game with Yu Darvish on the hill.
Today, they're in Kansas City.
Correct.
Yeah.
Then tomorrow, and then they go to St. Louis, who won't have Yachty, won't have Paul DeYoung.
I mean, you got
they're getting some fortuitous
players.
Breaks.
Yeah, they really are.
The golf tournament this weekend, the TPC at Harding Park.
Yeah.
The trees out there, are those redwoods or sequoias? What do we have?
No
idea. Did you see the thickness of some of these trees, Carm?
No.
I didn't think that was the question we were going to be getting.
No, that's the question you're getting because these things are substantial. I don't know if you've caught any of the highlights on the gram, but I've been looking at Instagram, and these trees are formidable.
The latest golf club podcast will be dropping soon on the ESPN Chicago app. Me and Merkin and Abdallah break down the PGA and give you some of the betting angles and what the sharps are doing in Vegas for the PGA.
How many
weekend.
Yards for this one this week?
7,200.
It's not that far.
But it's not. But as we discussed in the podcast, I don't mean to be
scooping par 70?
I believe it is. It's got to be at 7,200 yards, right? It's got to be.
I'm asking.
The weather conditions will make it play longer. It's, you know, kind of that typical San Francisco. It's cool. It's damp.
It's kind of misery.
Justin Thomas even said the difference from where they were last week in a very hot, humid climate at TPC Southwind in Memphis, he said the ball speeds and the clubhead speeds are dramatically different already in practice earlier this week.
So they can't swing the club as fast. Is what you're telling
me. He said the club head speeds and the ball speeds are slower because of and he was equating it to the weather conditions. And it is your typical, like, damp chill. I mean, the high today in San Fran is like 68. You know, I think the high tomorrow is 69. 69!
They had a 49 this morning in the suburbs in the AM.
I know.
Do you know that?
It's been kind of weird.
I like it.
So I think the weather conditions will make the course probably play a little bit longer, but 7,200 yards is nothing for these guys these days.
It's peanuts. There's 3 woods off the tee for most of these guys.
Here, I tweeted this earlier because we were talking about the PGA. In 2000, the year 2000, how many players on the PGA Tour averaged at least 300 yards driving off the tee?
I'll say 54.
I'll say one.
Oh, in 2000.
In 2000.
I'll say nobody.
One. John Daly. Tiger was, I think, second or third at about 297. People think, like, oh, look what Tiger did to courses. Tiger never hit at 320.
Remember
the way
they used
to
the Tiger-proof the course?
And the Tiger's
like
max
Augusta.
Was about 298. Do you know how many guys on the PGA Tour this year average at least 300?
54.
My number, 64.
69. 69 golfers.
Great number.
68 more.
That's
it is,
a big,
isn't it?
A lot of bombers.
In 20 years. You've got 11 guys that average over 310 yards off the tee.
Training, is that because
technology?
Yeah.
I think it's both.
Combo.
I think it's both.
Like,
I think it's the training. I think they're just more athletic.
Balls.
The way they train the balls, the clubs, all of it. Yes, I think that's why.
I mean, even Furyk at 50 hits the ball farther than he's ever hit it, like when he was 32.
Exactly. You know? In 1990, so if you go back 30 years,
the
longest driver on the PGA Tour, and I didn't even recognize the name.
It was 280,
274 yards.
And it was Guy Brewer.
It wasn't Guy Brewer. 200, and that 30 years ago. It was 274 yards. I mean, Tiger's driving distance this year is about 293. He's like 145th on tour.
Yeah.
Hitting at 293 yards. It's incredible. I would settle for like 265 every time off the tee, to be honest.
Well, I don't even want to tell you what I'd settle for.
I'll take that every
Johnny
time.
Johnny short knocker.
Off the tee.
I'll right, settle Mark? For 175. Well,
on my backswing, yeah. You can just see the energy dissipate know, from the right? swing.
See, that's the one thing I'm able to do.
You can hit. Cap hits it pretty hard, I got to admit.
Cap can bomb it.
Cap hits it hard. I'll take 250 every time
again,
off the tee.
But Randy's problem is he's gripping the club at the shaft.
I know.
You can't grip the club at the shaft and think that ball's going to fly anywhere.
He got no torque and he's gripping down. You got a lot of problems.
Listen, happy anniversary to you and your wife.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary,
thank
Merck.
You. 19 years today.
Wow. 19 years. Yeah. Huh? Who'd have thought?
Yeah. Yep.
Who'd
Merck
have
thought?
And they say those arranged marriages never work.
That's true.
Look at this one. Huh?
It did work.
Yeah. The poor girl thought she got the short end of the stick.
Who
but no,
says
she
a mail order
not.
Bride isn't worth it, huh?
I mean,
good
hey,
job, Merck.
These girls from Russia sometimes work out, don't they?
No, she's from Ukraine. Come on. Merck, good job,
just
buddy.
Having some fun. Congratulations,
thank you. Yeah. With friends like these,
it's
right?
It's hard yeah. to tell, I can tell.
Oh, man. So a few years, God, I've been married 16 years. So
congratulations.
This was just before we got married. My wife was finishing her master's, and her like study group said, hey, we're going to celebrate. We're going to all go out. My wife said, would you like to join us? Absolutely. So we go out. We go to a restaurant, drinks flow, and the whole deal. And one of the gentlemen in her class was from India. And I said, what's next for you?
Yeah, what are you doing?
And he said, I'm thinking, what job? You got your MBA from DePaul? You're he
smart
said,
guy?
Yeah, he said, I actually go back to my country in like 30 days. I'm like, oh, what? You came here for the education? Yeah. I said, why are you going back there? He said, my mom and dad picked out my bride.
Brutal.
And I'm getting married in 30 days. And I said, God. What's she like? He goes, I don't know. I've never met her. I'm like, hold on a second. You've never met her and you're married.
It's like, what year
tradition.
Is it?
Tradition.
It's
coming
said,
to America.
That's what he said. It's tradition. Few more drinks and he turns to the group and he goes, can we go to strip club tonight?
Oh, my God.
We took him to a strip club and he's like, I can't believe I'm doing
now, this. Now, I wonder if that guy's still married.
He said, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like getting married, not going to the strip club.
Correct.
Yeah.
I want to know if he's still married. Try to track him down.
God.
That'd be a tough thing, man.
His name was
marriage?
Vijay.
Wow, man.
So, happy anniversary to the Blackhawks today. Big Blackhawks anniversary.
What was today? August 5th, excuse me.
15 years ago today.
15 years ago today. Mm-hmm. 2005. On this day in 2005, what would that have been? Like, they drafted Taves, or?
They signed Nikolai Habibulin.
Oh,
4 years, 27.
Million. Coming out of the lockout, right?
Nikolai Habibulin.
Habibulin, baby. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Love me some Kabibulin.
So, all right, I'll get out of your
all
way.
All right, see you tomorrow.
Have a wonderful day. The more details on the Unity Walk as we hash them out, but it's going to happen.
Flesh those out.
Sounds exciting.
Flesh those out.
Should wait for the middle of winter. Really challenge
yourself. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Our boss just texted me, why don't we do this closer to the holidays? I'm like,
that's right.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
That's when people really need help.
Yes.
And I said, it's going to be a little chilly. And his response to me was, don't you do cryotherapy?
Yeah.
What do you care?
Yeah,
you get
that's
a coat.
What we heard.
You get a big Santa hat, and we're
put
good to go.
Put yourself some boots on.
Do it in December.
Make it happen.
It'd be great if it were like
who's the Jewish Santa walking 29 miles?
Cap.
Me. Yeah, no. We're doing it earlier. We're doing it when it's nice out. So, all right, have a great day.
All right.
Merck, enjoy your anniversary. Send her flowers,
Cap.
Kid. All right?
Flowers.
Surprise her with something.
She wants diamonds.
Yeah. Cookies.
She didn't want flowers.
I'll give her a surprise all right tonight.
Flowers die.
Oh, my God. Merkin.
Big box of Toll House coming her way.
Oh, yeah.
Is Merkin's that what they call it now, Carm?
Mm. Merkin's going to put a red ribbon around his
get
body.
Get her one of those life-size Hershey Kisses. You and her can just chow that thing down.
I don't know if he wants to put a ribbon around his body.
He's going
to
walk in. Here's your present.
Poor guy. It's
going to be a small ribbon.
Limping around like he's 75 years old.
Pull that off of some kid's birthday cake. Be able to wrap it around him four times.
Yep. They walk into a restaurant and they say to Beth, oh, you're taking your father out to dinner, huh? All right, we're out of here. Carm and Yerk are next. See you at 9.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hope you're having a great day. The Cubs and the White Sox keep winning, Yurko. That's a thing of beauty. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it too, kid. 11 in a row, huh? Both sides of town.
How about it? The Cubs improved to 9-2. Continue. The White Sox are 7-4.
They're undefeated in August, right?
Both had a rally. Yeah, I think that's right. Both had a rally to do it yesterday. Your brother did? The problem for the White Sox is they can't stay healthy right now. I mean, Nick Madrigal and Edwin Encarnacion, which I don't think would be too major of a loss.
Yeah, he's not. Double E's not going to be missed.
He hasn't done much at the plate. And it opens up the opportunity for another bat maybe to get in the lineup, although Collins hasn't looked great in his limited time either. You've got Encarnacion, who had to leave with a shoulder injury, and Nick Madrigal with a wrist injury. It looked bad. And I don't know if there's been any fresh update. I haven't checked in about the last hour on Nick Madrigal, but it did not look good. And a lot of people thought he was probably pushing the limits anyway. The play was right in front of him, and he was testing Avi Garcia's arm, and he got thrown out at third. So not only did he get thrown out, but he also had to leave the game and got injured in the process. So, I mean, the attrition for the White Sox here, my goodness, they can't slow the pace. It has been one after another, whether it's their starting rotation or guys they hope to be key contributors. But they keep winning, and the offense is doing just enough. And last night it was Jose Abreu and Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert on base three times again. He has hit safely in every game except one, 10 out of 11 to start his big league career. And for the White Sox, yeah, they're playing the Pirates, they're playing the Royals, but they continue to get excellent starting pitching. It's not a surprise when Kyle Hendricks does it. Alec Mills has been more of a surprise. Yep. Tyler Chatwood's been more of a surprise. Yeah. But they are getting excellent starting pitching right now. They continue to have a Craig Kimbrell problem, and I don't know how they're going to fix that. And I hope I have his contract status correct. I believe I do. You've got another year at like $16 million.
Yes, you do.
And then even a vesting option after that, which seems impossible that it would vest and just a buyout. But you've made a pretty substantial commitment to Craig Kimbrell. And by and large, since he started pitching about this time a year ago for the Chicago Cubs, he's given them nothing.
It's been a struggle. It has been a struggle.
For a potential future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and so what do? You shuffle the cards a little bit, and you say, okay, guys that maybe weren't going to have this closer role need to get in there and perform in a closer role.
You have to use him, right, Yerk? I mean, you're not cutting.
If he's out of sorts, right? You're not cutting him, but if he's out of sorts, he's out of sorts, and you got to find a way to get him healthy.
So you find a different role, maybe.
You find a seventh inning or a sixth inning role for him. You give him an inning at a time until he gets back at it, and you see what you want to see. Whether it's the break on the curveball, you know, whether it's a release point problem, whether it's an overstriding issue, whatever it is, get him back to what he once was. Go watch videotape of when he was successful. See what's wrong. Compare the two with each other and see where you're at. Do something. I'm sure they've already tried it.
It's a mechanical problem.
But
that's what
the point is, confidence has got a lot to do with it. So you put him in lesser impact roles or lesser leverage roles, and you let him try to find a way to be successful there, and then you build him up till you get him back to where you want him.
That could be it. And it's a closer by committee right now on the north side, it seems like. This is what Theo Epstein said about it yesterday. Sometimes it takes failing over a course of a few games to really see it and tackle it head on. Rossi has his back. He's not going to turn his back on him while he goes through this. Rossi and Craig Kimbrell were teammates for a little while in Atlanta.
Right.
But this is more than a few games. That's what I would say to Theo Epstein. This is a hefty number of games where he just has been very ineffective. And they had to, you know, get bailed out again last night after the Royals made it a little bit closer. The Wilson Contreras home run proved to be pivotal.
Well, I mean, here's some of the negative things that are going on with Craig Kimbrell. Too many walks. Too many hits, too many home runs, too many earned runs. You know, so there's some negativity there. You know, there's some problems there. And all those runs are earned runs. Six runs given up, six earned runs. So that's a problem. That is a problem. So the positives. Hey, he's still alive, right? His arm hasn't fallen off. So being alive and his arm still intact, okay, there you go. Those are the positives. But the negatives have outweighed the positives so far, so he's got to take a lesser role.
They sure have.
That's the way it's going to work.
Theo Epstein also addressed the job that David Ross is doing. This is from the Tribune. I was reading this morning. About one-fourth of Epstein's interview involved his lofty praise of manager David Ross and how he has changed the environment that Joe Maddon established 5 years ago. He has stepped in and helped us address some of the things that have been lingering for years, Epstein said of Ross, a former Cubs catcher who served the previous three seasons as a special assistant. And for him to do that in the first 2 weeks of the season is really impressive. Specifically, Epstein has been pleased with Ross's fearlessness in when to call out or praise a player, address a situation before it arises, and allow his coaches to coach. Jeremy Jeffers had some nice things to say about Ross's overall demeanor and the way he is with the guys yesterday. That's why they wanted David Ross, right? He'll hold players accountable. Apparently, that wasn't happening anymore under Joe Madden. Not sure why. Maybe Joe always felt like guys in the locker room, in the clubhouse, should sort of handle that, that the veteran leaders should kind of police one another, you know?
So when Ross was there, he was effective at doing that for Joe Madden.
Once Ross left,
it sounds to me like nobody took the mantle or nobody believed they had as much veteran equity to where they could go ahead and call out teammates, or whatever they were saying didn't carry enough weight with the individuals that they were talking to.
That's what it sounds like.
So it sounds like they're ineffective managing along with ineffectual leadership.
Then there's this quote.
That's a problem. Two of those go hand in hand.
Sure. Then there's this quote, Yerk. "I've never given up faith in our guys," Epstein said, who is stuck with mostly a hometown core. Quote, "I think we had more talent than the results would indicate the past couple of years," close quote. Is that a direct shot at Joe Madden, or is Joe Madden the easy target right now as he's out of town and the Cubs are playing better? We will discuss some of that coming up next. Are the Cubs going too far to call out Joe Madden in a way? 312-332-3776 is the phone number if you want to jump in. The results are good. They are 9-2 right now. 312-332-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. Yerk is at Yerko64. That's Yerko with the J. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Lots to do. We got a ton of baseball. Blackhawks with a must win. Huge game tonight, game three, as they will technically be the home team in Edmonton. We'll get into all that and the goalie situation. So lots to do on this Wednesday. We're coming right back.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hope you're having a great day, Carmen and Yurko. Talking baseball, Blackhawks, and Oilers tonight in a pivotal game three.
Big talking one
about
tonight,
best of five, series tied at one.
It's a big one.
How important it is, right, Yerk?
Yeah.
It's a runaway on the Twitter poll. I knew it would be, but Yerko piqued my interest yesterday when he said maybe they should let Corey get ready for a potential game. Well, you're going to have a game four anyway, but maybe a game five, too.
I voted for Subban.
Boy, I can't believe they didn't even want to play Malcolm Subban after they acquired him.
Yeah.
Boy, it'd be nice to still have Robin Leonard. I mean, who knew this was going to happen, right?
Nobody did.
I mean, you had no...
Nobody knew.
No idea.
But you got DeHaan back, so, you know, it's a little bit of a trade, right?
I guess. Who should start for the Blackhawks tonight? That is the poll question, and it is a runaway, and I had a feeling it was going to be on my Twitter timeline at Carmen DeFalco. Crawford, Dealey, or Subban? 86% of the audience going with Crawford. I'm surprised Subban's getting more than Delia. I mean, Delia's played a little bit more, and I think he's a little bit more of a known commodity for the Hawks. But I still think it's got to be Corey Crawford, and hopefully he's just a little bit better. There's no doubt he looked rusty.
Hawks win the first one.
Hawks win the first.
Edmonton Oilers respond.
Yes.
Now the Hawks are challenged, and Corey Crawford specifically is challenged. So we'll see if Corey Crawford and the Hawks can respond. If not, this one's over. You know, three straight for the Edmonton Oilers, and they tuck their heads between their legs and hope they can get Lafreniere. The young Frenchman
Alex
from Quebec.
Lafreniere.
That's right.
The young French-Canadian.
Is no longer secured for the Montreal Canadiens.
All right, Yerk, is it unnecessary for Theo Epstein at this point to be saying things like, you know, the culture has changed dramatically?
No, that's what he gets to do. That's when you're the president and you get to run the Chicago Cubs. If you want to take veiled shots at Joe Madden, that's what you get to do. Joe Madden won the World Series here. He's the manager of the World Series team, sometimes in spite of him. But still, he won the World Series, period, with that Chicago Cubs team. Forever will be known as a great manager. And what he did with the Cubs and his record here.
Do you feel like...
It's fantastic.
Do you feel like...
Over the course of time, you take things for granted as a manager. I think over the course of time, he took for granted the fact that the players are going to be able to police themselves. There's a great failure in leadership,
I guess,
within the players, holding each other accountable for the Chicago Cubs in the subsequent years after the World Series. But the ultimate guy in charge, that's Joe Madden. And then above him, the guy in charge of that is Theo Epstein. And Theo decided, hey, we're making suggestions. We're asking you. You're saying that's out of your character or out of your managerial purview for you to go ahead and do that, especially upon our suggestion, and you're deciding you're not going to do that, well, then at some point we've got to get rid of you. And that's what happened. Simple as that. That's what happened.
You know, I would have thought, I think everybody would have thought, that the manager that delivered a world championship with the Cubs would just forever be completely and totally revered here. You know, the way Ditka is, the way Quenneville is. I mean, and it doesn't feel like that's the case with Joe Maddon necessarily, does it? Is it just
a team
me?
Thing? You know, Theo gets the love. Jed Hoyer gets
Theo
the love.
Theo gets more of the love and the credit.
Theo also gets a lot of criticism for the mistakes that he has made. And he has made mistakes. And they hold him accountable. Kimbrel's is.
Yes.
Yu Darvish
is his.
And his 8 victories in his career with the Chicago Cubs is his. Jason Hayward and that god-awful contract is his. Now, you're going to see a home run every blue moon on it.
Like you did yesterday.
Yeah. You're going to see a home run every blue moon.
First extra base hit of the year.
But there's certainly not a ton of consistency happening out there in right field. So, no, he's made a lot of mistakes. So you could look at him and say, shake your head and say, awful. Just awful.
I think a lot of Cub fans think what you said. Like, well, they kind of won in spite of him. And I don't know. It's just like it's funny to think that the manager that finally helped them win was so quickly sort of
chased out of town.
Yeah, like pushed aside. Okay,
didn't Boston chase Francona out of town?
Yeah, but Francona was there for like at least about a decade or 12 years.
But they won two of them. They chased Francona out of town too. And I don't know if Theo was with him when they chased Francona out of town. I just know that no matter who you are,
I don't remember the timeline of that.
You know, the guys like the Sparky Anderson got chased out of Cincinnati, didn't he?
Yeah,
then went up to Detroit
and won in Detroit. It was 2 championships in 4 years for Francona, but to your point, he was gone after 8 seasons.
Yeah.
You know, if Theo was still there for that. And Theo's the big 10-year guy. But I guess I just thought Madden would make it more than 5, you know? I mean,
well, there's two strong egos butting heads, and nobody was willing to give. Nobody's willing to give, and the results aren't happening on the field. Something has to change. The manager doesn't get to fire the president. It doesn't work that way. So it's always going to be Joe Maddon getting tossed.
Yeah.
Always. So.
Francona has now been managing the Indians as long as he managed the Red Sox. It's been as many seasons in Cleveland.
Two World Series. Was going to stay forever.
In Boston.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it's it's a new world, you know? It's just that look, Quenneville, unfortunately, it was time for a change there. Like, we see it far too often, you know, where it's just you need a reset. And so I get what you're saying. Like, I don't think it's necessarily unfair what Theo is saying. It's pretty obvious that culture needed a reset for whatever reason. Joe did his job and did it well, especially early on. I was hoping the White Sox would kick the tires on Joe Maddon, to be honest. Like, he's the kind of guy that's probably good for a team like the team I cheer for right now.
Would that have been funny if he takes over for Ricky Renteria?
Yeah, it would have been. And I would have, and I definitely would have explored it had he been interested. You know, so I don't think it's necessarily cheap or unfair. I do think that he's answering honestly in that, look, they told you this last year, they needed a different voice. They needed a different level of accountability, and they needed kind of a culture change after the quick 5 years with Joe Maddon. He did what they needed then, and maybe David Ross is doing what they need now. I can't give all the credit in the world 9-2 to David Ross. I'm sorry. Managers get far too much credit and far too much blame in baseball. Far too much. Football, I get it. Coaching matters a hell of a lot more. Basketball, I see a little bit more in basketball.
I love Joe Maddon.
But in baseball,
Joe Maddon doesn't want to be told what to do by bean counters from upstairs. Even if they are intelligent bean counters that created a computer simulation that gave them something of a foot above everybody else for an extended period of time until everybody got all of it, okay? So that's fine. Computer nerds figured something out, wrote some algorithms, and all of a sudden, you know, they're telling Joe Maddon what to do. I understand Joe Madden's a little fight back on that sort of thing. Joe Maddon's always going to be my championship manager, period.
Yeah, so you love that about him,
right? At some point, you become obstinate to what's being told you by the people upstairs because at some point you lose respect for them. And I think that's what might have happened. Oh, we got a great relationship. I just don't have to listen to them.
Right.
You know? And so it had to end. That divorce had to happen.
I think you're right. Yeah. Summed up well. That's where they got, you know, that's the point they reached, I guess, last year. Yeah. Go ahead.
I got an update.
Okay. On.
Remember how I've been reaching out to friends of mine that certain things happen when Randy Merkin told me Tom Coughlin went down in a bicycle spill?
Yes.
I texted Coach and did not receive a response. I received one this morning.
From Coach?
From Coach Coughlin. So my when I found out Thursday, I sent this to him.
This
Coach,
is last week. People that don't know, he was riding his bike near his home in Ponte Vedra. Where does he live, York, right?
Yeah, he lives in Marsh Landing, I believe.
And he got like cut off by a guy and had an accident. He broke a couple of ribs and he got his face all scraped up.
He's in the subdivision north of the Players' Championship courses. So I go, Coach, hope you're okay. I'm buying you a tricycle. It's Yurko, by the way, just in case you didn't know. So my response today, I'm sitting in the dentist's office while my daughter's getting her wisdom teeth removed. He goes, Big John, thanks. I wish you could have talked with that blank hole who thought he was racing in the Tour de France, Tom. So that's the response. Wish I could have had a talk with the blank hole.
That's pretty good.
That thought he was racing in the Tour de France down there. Man. So we appreciate Coach Tom getting back to me. And, of course,
that
we had a little exchange with Furyk on Sunday after I congratulated him. And he just gave me a big thank you. And I don't know what he's going off at the TPC at Harding, because he's playing in the PGA Championship or whatever it is. Which one is it?
PGA Championship.
Huh?
PGA Championship.
PGA Championship this week. Wishing him luck. I'm going to take him. I'm putting him to win in top five.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. Confidence is high. He's been hitting a lot of wedges. Confidence is high. He's feeling good about his game. And when you go 14 under in 3 days, even if it's on the senior tour, it doesn't make a difference. Confidence is high. No response from Dan Plesac yet, unfortunately.
I mean, you got Tom Coughlin and Jim Furyk responding, but Plesac's not.
Plesac is not responding. There's
Last night, I was watching MLB Network, as I often do.
Yeah.
Do you know Plesac was telling Harold... And what's Greg Allmendinger? Is that how you say Greg's last
Greg
name?
Greg Allman.
How do you say
Allman
Greg's
brothers.
Last name? Is it Allmendinger, right?
I think that's
how you
right,
say
yeah.
He Plesac was saying he could still throw 75.
Oh, I believe that.
And they were and Harold and Greg were saying no chance. And I didn't stay with it to see if they were actually going to go and do it. Like, Plesac was getting mad. He's like, what are you guys talking about? And then he even said, I bet you I can throw 85. And they're like, you're crazy.
Is he a light-tossing lefty when he played? What was his speed when he played?
I bet you Plesac threw close to 90.
Was he crafty or was he throwing smoke back in the day?
I bet you he was throwing 95, 96.
I don't think Plesac threw 95. Merck, guys back then weren't throwing 96. Guys.
Dan Plesac was not a crafty
lefty. J.R. Richard threw 100 miles an hour.
No, I mean, Plesac threw hard. But in his era, throwing hard was 90. 90, Merck. I mean, here, I'll get you the Fangraphs data. Hold on. And then he said, he goes, guys, it was my career. It was my life for 20 years. And they're like, yeah, but you're old.
Unless he plays catch with somebody.
With his nephew.
And with his nephew or with his niece or whoever. But he's playing catch with people. That would then make sense.
Why can't we get Plesac on? Merkin, call him again. I want to talk to Plesac.
We want to talk to the sack man.
It was so funny last night. Here, too. They might not have pitched... They might Speed. Not have Velo. Yeah, it doesn't look like they have it for him.
I bet you if we gave Tom Waddle a month or maybe 2 months to get ready, he could go out and play and catch one pass in an NFL game right now.
I bet you he couldn't.
I could play one play in the NFL.
Yes.
And then I'd get crushed.
Did you say one play?
One play.
Yeah.
I'd get crushed. I'd get destroyed. I'd probably break a few things. Uh-huh. And then I would say that I still had it in me. I could do one play.
Well, I mean, I guess he could catch like a bubble screen. Yeah. Waddle, where is he?
I'd get destroyed in the NFL nowadays. The speed, the size of these guys, I'm diminished down to nothing anymore. I can't move. I got lower back pain. These guys pretzel me up. I'd end up looking like a pretzel, a rolled gold out there.
Dude, you're 52. I mean,
I know.
I know.
I'm not jumping Kias anymore, Carm. Not like the old days.
No. Where's Waddle? Meller, where's Waddle? Waddle!
Never know what he's doing back there.
I never know what he's doing.
What is he doing back there?
The meatloaf.
I know what he's doing. He had an accident in his pants, and he's got a smiling butterfly down there. So now he's got to go ahead and take care of it.
Where is he? We got a break.
Yeah, we got some good wipes
for you. Real quick. If we gave you a month to train, Merkin said you could go play an NFL game and catch a pass. Do you think so?
No.
I don't think so either.
I told him I'd get killed. I can go in there for one play, put the equipment on, and get absolutely destroyed.
There's no way.
I tried to play a little ball on the beach last year with
little
my two
ball
my
on
two
the
nephews,
beach,
and pulled my groin on Thursday. pulled my hamstring on Saturday.
Dude, he broke his face playing basketball with the kids at the Super Bowl party. Like he there's no way.
His face was smashed in.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll take some calls coming up next. We'll do trending at 1 o'clock MLB with Jerry Harrison Jr. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Yeah, with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT or 1-800-GAMBLER.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
I don't think that's the right hourly, by the way.
Okay, I thought it was unique, but you know, we can all sponsor
Gamblers
whatever we
Anonymous
want.
Is yes. Now sponsoring the hour.
This hour brought to you by our friends at 3Chi. That number is 3CHI, the leader in hip-derived cannabinoid products. Visit 3Chi.com for more info and use promo code ESPN for 5% off.
All right, very good.
That's always wonderful.
Don't forget, we got the Coors Light contest again all week. Yurko's going to drop off a Yeti
Friday.
Cooler full of ice-cold Coors Light. We're going to load it up with Coors Light for you. Get you set for the weekend. Yurko will drop it off at your house if you're the winner on Friday. All you have to do to win is text to qualify. Just text Chicago Chill because Coors Light was
one word,
chill.
Carm. One word,
one
Chicago
word.
Chill.
Chicago Chill. Text that to the number 31996. That's 31996. And if you live in Indiana or Illinois, and if you're 21 or older, you will be eligible. And Yurko might see you on Friday to get Coors Light delivered to the house for the weekend or any day of the week for
if
that
I'm
matter.
If I'm not mistaken, Carm, there were other people that got a couple cases of beer after that, too, didn't
few
they?
A few other people are
nice.
Will have three more runners up, yes.
Beautiful.
And if you want to order to the house, just go to the website, get.coorslight.com. Steve is in Highland Park, excuse me, on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. So you were talking before about why Joe Maddon isn't more revered, you know, after winning the World Series here.
Yeah.
I think the big reason for that is when they won in 2016, it seemed like that was going to be the tip of the iceberg. You know, those guys were so young. That was such a dominant team. And it just never got any better. It really went the other way, right? So I feel like even though they did win, it kind of still feels like this group underachieved under him a bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big reason why people don't look at him as this beloved figure, even though that he did win.
But you know what's curious, Steve? Like, and I get what you're saying, but it's kind of, there are some parallels between the 80s Bears. And, like, all of our vitriol over the years has been directed more towards the McCaskey family and ownership and leadership above and not really directed towards the head coach. I mean,
coach.
You know, like, just like, I know Cap gets mad that Joe Maddon was doing Benny's commercials and things like that. Well, I don't see David Ross doing Benny's commercials. I don't know how much that matters.
Well, wait till he wins one. He might be doing them.
When Coach Ditka and everybody else started doing commercials and they all got high on the hog, you know, nobody really, I don't know. I mean, like, Ditka didn't suffer the same amount of criticism. They only won one, and they were better than the Cubs.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, yeah, I mean, winning obviously raised expectations, and I think the fan base was so starved. And
yeah.
I don't know. Those are just a frustrating 3 or 4 years afterwards.
Yeah, there was no honeymoon for Joe Maddon. There was no, hey, you can have a couple of years where it doesn't go well.
Steve, thanks, man. We appreciate the call, buddy. You know, I mean, yeah, in fairness, if McMahon doesn't get hurt, they might win again in 86. They were awfully great.
Yeah.
The defense was statistically better than the year. I mean, they were 14-2. They were phenomenal.
And Ditka made the stupid decision to start Doug Flutie.
Well, again, because if McMahon hadn't gotten hurt, who knows? But that didn't help him.
Right.
You're right. And the players didn't like that. Yurko and Waddle always say the other 51, they know what's going on.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly.
They didn't like that. And, you know, and so, and I just, I've, Ditka's flat out friggin' revered.
Yeah.
And they underachieved in the 80s. Let's grab one more. We'll save trending for the 1 o'clock hour. Dennis is in Downers. What's up, Dennis?
Hi, guys. You guys are the best. Yurk, I was going to wait for you to attack Darvish again, and you did it.
I did or I didn't?
He did it.
You attacked him again, and what I want to say is, number one, a starting pitcher doesn't control how many games he wins.
Right.
He can only try to shut down the other team. Number two,
that's right.
He pitched hurt. Everybody thought he was making it up. They finally found out what was wrong with him. That's number two. Number three, the worst move ever made was the Quintana trade. Don't throw Darvish in on bad moves because, mark my words, he's going to become very good. I'd rather have him than Arrieta, and it was going to be one or the other. And number four is... I forgot number
four.
Never mind.
You almost had a four-pack.
Dennis, it was good.
Dennis, the three-pack was still good.
Dennis, you came at me with heat. Let's have a celebration today. the day he matches Quintana's victory mark with the Chicago Cubs, and that's 33 wins. We're a long way away from that. Maybe in 2003 or 2002, we'll be able to celebrate when he passes up the win mark that Quintana, the most underrated and underappreciated pitcher in Chicago Cub history, gives you. Oh, and you found out what the injury was for you, Darvish? Which lobe of the brain was the problem? Right. Was it the occipital, the frontal, the parietal, the medulla oblongata? Which one was it?
Five lobes.
Please, right. Temporal.
You's first start certainly wasn't good. In fairness, on the season here for you, Darvish, granted it's only 10. It's 10 innings pitched.
It's two games, yes.
12 strikeouts, one walk, no home runs, and an ERA plus of 157.
An International Celebration Day.
All right.
Between us and Japan, we're going to do a dual celebration. On his 33rd victory, when he matches what Quintana's done for you, you ungrateful Cubs fans, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Let's take that. Well, we're going to go around MLB. We'll talk Cubs, Sox, what's happening with the COVID outbreaks, and does it seem like it's going to start to stem? Hopefully it does.
We're at 8, though. Only 25 more to go.
Jerry Harrison Jr. Will join us when we come back next, and then Bob Herrig to preview the PGA Championship in San Fran, which tees it up tomorrow. We're back in 2 minutes.